Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos. Here we go. It's Tuga time. I'm going to be so hungover at work tomorrow, I'm not going to do anything.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Billy Jaffe, covers the Bruins for Nesson, and he has got to be at least a little hopeful that work will start again. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Jaffe, hello.
Hello, Mr. Toucher. Hello. How are you?
I am been better. All right. Yeah. So, what is okay? Rich does not believe in this plan that the NHL is doing. He thinks it's pushing the start date of the league too far. Are you hearing that from people?
Well, I'm not hearing it. I mean, listen. What the league is doing is setting up plans if they can make things happen. It's kind of like a it's like a big real estate deal. You know, they've agreed on a price for this property, say big property, but all these other things need to happen. And if they don't, one of these things don't happen, the deal will be off. And it's no different. I'm 50-50 on it that it can happen, and I want it to happen. Like you said in the intro, you know, hopeful that there's an opportunity to do some work coming up, but it's so far outside of any of my or most of our expertise, and even for the experts, they don't even know. So, Fred, are they pushing it? I wouldn't say they're pushing it. I think what they're doing is they're hoping it. They're hoping it can happen. They're hoping medically it can. Will it? It's still a long way to go, but yet they don't have that much time anymore.
Meaning, Jeffy, what's the holdup? Okay, I want to know specifically what's holding them up because every other league has a plan.
No, they have a plan. What they're doing right now is they have a plan, Rich. What they're doing in the next, I'm going to say 10 days. Forgive me if I'm off by a couple of days. They're going to announce the host cities. And I think what they're trying to do is make, you know, getting sure that they're really using cities that where the you know, the level of infection and the hospital rate is low, and they're prepared for everything, and they can lodge everybody, and everything works. I think they're waiting to see about the border, Rich, too. Remember, there's something, you know, the border has to be taken into consideration.
Why? Because baseball has players, has a team in Canada. Basketball's got a team in Canada.
Because
why
I
is the border only an issue for them?
Well, first of all, there's a lot more Canadian players playing than, you know, getting those guys either into Canada for training camp, or are they going to find out that they have to send them to the States to go to
the numbers shouldn't matter. It's the law that matters. If you're able to get people in one league down from Canada, like it would be all or nothing.
No,
it's
but
not
they're
like,
trying
oh,
to figure out, you've got seven teams in Canada, Rich. So they're trying to figure out, do they send players? Like Vancouver, the Canucks are waiting to see, can we get players up here for training camp to begin July 10? They don't know yet. They don't know. They don't know if that's going to be given special consideration. They're not sure yet. Now, I also think that a Canadian city is probably up for a host city. My guess is it's Toronto. That's my it's my vibe. Is that my vibe right now is Toronto and Vegas could be your host cities. For multiple reasons. And I think, you know, with regard to Canada, that's a big deal. And they got to understand, here's the other thing. There's still also going to have to be discussions, gentlemen, with the players about certain things, about, I don't want to call them caveats, I guess conditions. you know, as to if they can pull, you know, pull this off. So, you know, the players, do they want certain amenities? Yeah, they're going to ask for certain amenities. Are they going to get certain dispensation, compensation in certain ways, whether it's actually for the now or for the future with, like, capping escrow? So there's a lot that has to go into it.
I just don't know why this hasn't been figured out over the last several months. I mean, basketball was able to figure it out. MLS was. Now, the city thing, I don't think I'm still buying that. You're right. Maybe there is something to, they insist on having one of the host cities be in Canada, and that might cause a little bit. If that's the case, then that part of it I'll buy a little bit. But everything else not being worked out, that's strange, man. And it just, it's so NHL of them, unfortunately, to just come in last in all of this, to getting all of this done when they've had the same amount of time as everyone else.
Well, Billy,
well, I guess,
would Marchand and Chara and all those guys make the trip back to Boston if there wasn't a very strong possibility that they would be playing?
I would think not. I would think that they're like the rest of all of us, you know, in the biz, just very hopeful, and this is the next step for them in hoping that it can happen. I would think if they knew that there was really no chance, I don't think they would come back. But I don't know, you know, listen, they've been gone for a while, and they get an opportunity to skate and train, you know, socially distant train, so to speak, at Warrior, so they want to get back and doing that. They're hopeful. There's just a lot that has to happen. And, Rich, I get that there's maybe the NHL, talked to one person who said this, you know, in the rush to be the first league to come back, the worst thing you can do is rush to come back and then have to cancel. Maybe the league actually is trying to pump the brakes just a little and make sure, you know, you can't be 100% sure with this thing at all. We think we know that. But maybe they're just trying to say, we'd rather be conservative. And if we actually became the second league back, so what if we did it the better way, you know, and there were less mistakes made? Maybe that's part of it, too.
All right. Well, do you see a situation like the NBA is having some it doesn't sound like this is going to end up being a major problem, but you've got players who are thinking that if they're one of the lower seeds, why would I put myself through all of this and return? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you see some players from the fifth seed down, but major star players thinking that this just might not be worth it?
I think there are players that internally, or maybe even have already verbalized that. I think, you know, and I get it. And when I say I get it, meaning everybody's entitled to their, you know, opinion. And there are players that have people associated, you know, family associated with them that have compromised situations, and they're cautious about that. I'm real curious to see. I go back to using the term amenities. Let's call it what does everything look like for these guys, for these teams? You know, are they allowed to have family come with them to their hub cities? And then as part of that, are there restaurants just for them so people are safe? All these things, Rich, I think will factor into it, and that will either increase the uncertainty or perhaps decrease some of it, because if you get to be with your family, if you get reassurances about medical things, et cetera, that will help some people. But I absolutely think some lower seed teams, players on teams, I should say, right now have thought about, well, wait, you know, when this is all said and done, I've been paid 90% of my salary so far through regular season. You know, is this going to be worth it? And I when I say I get it, I'm saying everybody has different thought process. So I'm sure there's going to be guys that have that.
Billy, I read an interesting article, I think it was in The Athletic, where they talked to Jack Edwards about what it's going to be like if he has to broadcast these games.
It'd be
from
torture.
The
torture for Jack Edwards.
He did not like that one.
No.
Whereas, if you talk to Mike Gorman, right, Gorman's like, well, you know, this is just kind of the way it's got to be. And, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Whereas Jack is not liking this at all. Have you spoken with him, and how
no.
is he doing?
Oh, yeah. Billy's talked to him every day.
Well, that's the first thing he volunteered
friends.
To do. Call Jack Edwards about this.
No, I haven't, but for somebody who has called, I don't know how many games off monitor, I've probably done four or five, five games off a big screen, and the big screen is never big enough. I understand how play-by-play and the color, you know, having done it, would lament not being there. But, you know, I mean, geez, I mean, this is what it is right now. I mean, you know, maybe I'm more in the Mike Gorman camp of, I mean, let's just, and I'm not saying this against anybody else. I'm just saying in general, let's just get games. I mean, this isn't ideal. This isn't perfect. It isn't, this isn't, well, I was going to say this isn't the real situation. Maybe it is the real situation for the upcoming X amount of months or perhaps even year. Let's just get games going. And then while it's so hard for a play-by-play guy to call off monitor, it's better than not calling games. And I guess right. that's what I say. And I understand why the league, especially early on, if you have 12 teams in a pod and each team's bringing two TV and two radio guys, just that. I mean, you can get the production crew to do it from remote, you know, because there's going to be a world feed, as they call it. But you're still adding, if let's assume everybody brings four people, you're adding 48 more people. And, yeah. you know, all you're doing is, I guess, you're encouraging, or not encouraging, but you're adding to the potential risk. And for now, is it worth it? Look, I'd love for us to all be there. I get what a guy, you know, like Jack would be saying. I get it. I absolutely get it. But it is what it is right now. I'd rather have, you know, games than no games.
Well, in fairness, Jack did a pretty good job describing why it's fairly difficult. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and so, I mean, he was saying that, you know, when Brick is, you know, doing his color, that's his time to kind of look away from the puck and try to see what else is happening. And there was right. a game that he said that he didn't realize one of the goalies had been pulled because he was watching action on one side when they were looking at a monitor. I could see it could be a pain in the ass, but...
Dude, it sucks. Rich, I'm telling you, when I was with Versus, you know, which became NBC Sports, we would do the European games that started, the games in Europe that started the season, and we would have to go to Stamford, Connecticut to do the game. You have so the play-by-play guy is on the puck. The color guy, meanwhile, while the rest of the play is going out, sometimes you don't see a guy jumping off the bench that gets into the play, and you're like, where the hell did that guy come from?
Yeah.
But, I don't want to say we're splitting hairs here, but considering that we're in a pandemic, we're kind of splitting hairs. Like, let's just get the games on. That's the first thing.
I don't think anyone's crying that Jack Edwards has got to do a game. I'm sure he would like to get paid. So I'm
I can't speak for him, but I know I would. Yes.
Yeah. Do it for Billy. All right.
Please.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen, if you want, I can't have you play golf because I can no guess yet. But when they open it up, baby, I'll take
Are you back home now? Sorry. I know Vic texted with Steph. Are you guys back home?
I'm back. I've been doing the show from my house the last week. I got one more week on from my house, and then I'm back. Back, all baby.
Right. All right.
All right, Billy.
See you guys.
All right, see you later. We'll be right back.
Butcher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're going to end up probably becoming a new rage in broadcasting. I mean, you and I started hanging over the balcony at the old Boston Garden. Then we were good enough to get to half court and sit at a table right along the court. And now we're going to start doing the games from our living room.
That's right.
Wow, has television turned?
I'm with you, babe. I'm with you.
He looks like all of Australia.
Out of the muck, you like a chief chemist. 98.5 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And that, of course, is Mike Gorman and Tommy Heinsohn. I have a feeling Tommy Heinsohn's going to like doing it from his living room.
Oh, I mean, can you think of the sounds that are going to slip through from, like, you know, Angels with Dirty Faces is going to be on in the background? Nice James Cagney film bleeding into the broadcast.
The black and white talkies.
Yeah, he's just watching the game on, like, an old school, like, a radio TV combo.
He doesn't even need to watch it. He's just going to feel it. He's just going to, you know, I bet he's watching Angels with Dirty Faces as the game's going on. And he just kind of goes off of what Gorman says. And he goes, oh, we have a foul. Unbelievable. That wasn't a foul. He doesn't even see what's happening. It's going to be
an
easy game.
I'll tell you what, Spanky on our gang. That was the kid.
speaking of that, two things. things that came out of the NBA training camps essentially being open back up, not training camps, but these players getting back and being able to work out, to training facilities, two major shockers. First of all, Danny Ainge tweeted a video yesterday of Taco Fall nailing a three, and he called him Taco Tatum. And to be honest, watching Taco Fall hit a three is something you got to see. I mean, it basically goes straight. Like, there's no arc. It's just straight to the rim.
You have some, you know, historical reference. Remember Manute Bol when he started firing up threes in his career? It kind of like looks like the same thing.
Yeah, he was like fairly successful at it.
Yes,
too.
At the end of his career, he was.
Now that you mentioned that, yeah, I think he ended up with a pretty decent percentage. Yeah. But I mean, watching Taco Fall drain a three is honestly something you have to watch. I'll retweet it, but Danny did it yesterday, and once again, just another little thing that got me excited, because there's no way now that he's not going to be on the roster. They're able to expand them now. Yes. I think to 17 players.
Oh yeah,
he's going to be there.
Now there's no guarantee he's going to play.
No, sure,
but he's going to be on the roster.
Yeah. But he will be there, and you know. Robert Williams is working out as well. It's going to be good to hopefully have him back. He might end up being somewhat important. It's not the team's not in a great place when they're going to have to rely on him, but if he plays well, hopefully he'll be a nice stopgap, you know, to have him in there. The other thing that I saw yesterday is, and this is what I'm really looking forward to, 3.5 months is a long time for an athlete, and your body can change. Like, you can warp one way or you can warp another. Did you see Nikola Jokic yesterday?
Yes,
the picture of him.
Remember, Fred, we were talking about how he looks like a stuffed sack of potatoes.
He's a human sack of potatoes. He's just the dumpiest athlete that you've seen. Now, he's amazing.
Yes.
But he's just the most unathletic-looking athlete in basketball. And he's just a dumpy dude. Guy shows up, and I bet that he has shed 50 pounds in 3.5 months.
He looks like a taller version of me. Is what he looks like.
He looks like not Andre Kirilenko. Who is the other a super tall? Oh God, who am I thinking of? I forget. But he's tall and he's like skinny now. Yeah. Like, he was like a dumpy dude, and
that
I don't know if that's
be a good thing.
That's
about
to say.
Be a good thing.
Exactly.
You
put some weight down in the post.
You gotta be able to handle the punishment. I agree.
And he kind of went a different way, and I'm wondering what he did or where he went, because I would think you would have gone in the other direction where you're not quite as losing as much weight. Instead, maybe you're gaining it, or you're just, you know, having. But that guy looks like he has worked out every single day to a Drago from Rocky IV type of level to get down to that weight. I mean, he lost almost a person. Like, it's like 50, at least 50 pounds taking a look at him. I didn't even recognize it was him until somebody put the caption underneath it. So,
but you know, other guys are going to get big fat. Which is great.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be great. And I was trying to think, like, is there anyone in the Celtics that you would think would be most likely to come back fat? Robert Williams was the first one I would thought, just because he kept like not missing his alarm and everything.
Yeah. Can you imagine how distracted he's going to be at Disney World? Like, if he had trouble getting to Brighton.
I know. Living right around the corner.
Within walking. Like, listen, I loved living in Brighton. I think Brighton's great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot to distract you from getting to where you want to go. Then you go to Disney World, and everywhere he's going to go, ooh, like, ah, what's this?
I mean, it's true. They're going to have, someone's going to have to bunk with him, I think. And they're going to have to have a bunk situation to get him to where he's going to go. I'm sure Danny would be the first one to volunteer, you know, to be able to make that happen. But, I mean, this is a situation rolling up now where we don't know what a lot of these guys are going to look like. And on top of that, we don't know how a lot of these guys are going to handle the upwards of 3.5 months being on your own. Now, I was telling you about how some people in the media leaked out yesterday this memo that came out from the NBA that said that if you're just going to cover the NBA, there's two different tiers of people. Now, the first tier are probably going to be people like the ABC staff and ones, or maybe even Adrian Wojnarowski and people who have to every day be around these players. It's their bread and butter, the ones that have to do the face-to-face interviews. And for those people, you are stuck for 3.5 months. You are not allowed to leave. You can leave, but if you leave, you cannot come back. You are as quarantined as the rest of these guys, but instead of playing or doing something that might help distract you, you're just there to cover this for 3.5 months.
I could just see Windhorse being a regular at the buffet downstairs. One of the hotels. Coronado Springs has to truck in some extra food, you know?
No, he's just following LeBron and wafting his hand to his face. That musk.
I mean, and as we said, Dan Roach, I'm like, dude, 3.5 months at Disney. I bet even for Dan Roach, we were predicting that if he went down there, how funny would it be if he ended up hating Disney World?
Yeah, Dan's going to take a bad left turn after about 6 weeks, I think.
I got news for you that no local TV station here has sent anyone down for 3.5 months.
By the way, I did out the math. Like, let's just say it's, you know, $300 a night at these resorts. And Coronado Springs is a decent resort from what I've been told. I've never stayed there. But you multiply that out over 70 or 75 days, and that's, what, $25,000? Just for the room. You're not even talking about transportation and food. It's $25,000 at the bare minimum, you know? So, I mean, you're right. Dan, they're not staying on property. Dan's in Kissimmee.
No. He can't. I just thought about
you
this.
You can't.
He can't stay off property. He has to.
He's got to be there. It's not even worth debating. They're not sending nobody's sending a local TV guy to cover 3.5 months of. And then, by the way, if your team's eliminated, don't you have to stay?
No. You can go home.
Everyone goes once you're gone. You're out, you're gone.
All right.
But the minimum is that they're preparing these people that at a minimum is to stay 2 months. So even if you get bounced at the beginning, you have to go down there. You have to quarantine for a couple of weeks. You've got the 8 games, regular season games, that are obviously going to be spread out over about 2 weeks. And then you've got the play-in game. And then if you're there, unless you're the one team that gets bounced, the 9 seed, then you're playing at least – you know, another week and a half. So you're there for 2 months, pretty much minimum. And that's tough. And there's been reports that have come out that now that these players are taking a look at the reality of being away from their family, because their family's not allowed to be there until the conference finals, that they're a little bit shocked. Here is your guy, Brian Windhorst, to talk about that.
The players were very excited about playing. And then the details have really been shared with all of them in the last 3 or 4 days, and they're just a little shocked. I didn't know we were only going to be allowed to go here. I didn't know it was going to be 7 weeks until I can see my wife or my girlfriend. I didn't know that I'm going to be restricted to these buses and this movement. I do think that they'll come around it because, you know, when I first started studying the concept of the bubble back in April, I was like, wow, there's no way this can happen. And I mean, the more people I talked to, even at this company who was going to produce this thing, were like, wow, I don't think this is going to happen. And then the more time that passed, the more time I got to understand it, I came around to understand that this was possible. And I think ultimately the players will too.
I hope he gets quarantined there, because you're going to see a man slowly going insane. It's going to be so great.
The question is, does he, like, go crazy and really eat his way out of it? I mean, does he gain another 25 or 30, or does he lose 25 or 30?
Like, is he the one who gets the photo taken off campus because he finds out there's a Golden Corral?
They find him, like, after a week, and he can't get out of the room. He's just, like, hitting the sides of the door.
This is going to be... It's going to be wild. I mean, there's so many storylines outside of just the basketball itself, which itself is going to be wild, because nobody knows how each of these teams is going to be able to bounce back from all this time off. I mean, going 0-60 into playoff basketball, except for those couple of games, like, that's a big deal. But the other stuff I'm even more fascinated by: who sneaks off campus and gets busted? How do they handle it when, you know, if a reporter ends up going nuts? You've got all sorts of issues with, teams and the dynamics of them all being together, one team being bounced off and wanting to take his friend to go out. Like, how are they? Are they going to bitch? Are they going to feel like, you know, we're being held down? Why can't we live when the rest of the world is doing this? Yeah. Is there going to be some sort of protest that they want to be able to leave and live their life, but they can't because of the league?
I mean, honest to God, you're upset. You've been quarantined for whatever it is, say 6 weeks without seeing your family, and you're angry. And every morning you go downstairs and everyone is so damn cheery. You know, everyone's happy all the time, every single day of your life, and you finally go insane.
Okay,
you have
said,
to.
Somebody on Twitter said, I'm sorry, but they seem like babies. Soldiers go away for months at a time. Their families don't get paid like these guys are going to. He said, windbag is annoying. Now, okay, you make a good point, but you have to understand, these are multimillionaires. This is something they are far from used to. You know, a soldier, they know what they're getting into. They accept it. This is something they're going to be coming from their Star Island mansion in Miami and all of a sudden saying, you can't do anything or go anywhere but live in this two-bedroom Mickey Mouse-themed hotel room and go and play basketball for, like, 3 months. That's going to drive these guys insane if they're not. No one's used to this. So, I mean, I understand your point, but it just drills in even more so that they're not ready for this. And it's going to be a wild – it's going to be really, really fun to watch from the outside looking in. But, you know, I don't feel sorry for them. But I also know that it is a recipe for strangeness over the next couple of months.
All right, Rich, we have coming up the little thing called the stack. What are we going to be talking about?
Get ready for the fake crowd noise revolution and when power ranking brings Twitter rage.
All right, we'll have all that for you coming right up.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and let's throw it to Big Money McGee over there, John Waller. Go ahead.
Stack is brought to you, as it always is, by Window Nation. It's Window Nation buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
You know who likes their toast cooked a specific way? Not too dark, not too light. So much so that he carries a picture of it in his pocket so he can show it to waitresses and with servers wherever he goes. Mr. Jim Nance. Well, he was back on the air yesterday for a good 2 minutes before he had to do this.
Here's Rom at the 8th just a moment ago.
Pretty good there.
Well, we were hoping for better audio with no fans surrounding the course. We apologize if anybody was offended by what they may have heard there.
Okay, so he ended up having to apologize within 2 minutes for a Brooks Koepka F-bomb that ended up making the air. And to be quite honest, that's going to be the great thing about having no fans in the stands. I want more of that.
Hey, Rich, it was glorious. I know I texted you, but I watched it live, and there was this whole build-up to Jim Nance like he was, you know, the biggest thing in the world. Hello, friends, and the whole thing at the at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. And, you know, like it's the most important thing ever going on is that golf is back at the Colonial. And then he's like, and let's head out to the third hole. And the shot goes in, and that goes off. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, crap. Now I have to apologize.
Yeah, you see. I know exactly what the things are. You know, the green, the smell of the grass.
It's like his monologue at the Masters or something.
Every tournament will be the Masters now.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Can you believe these heroes going out and playing golf?
Yes.
Just like everyone else.
Well, that's why this disappoints me, because more and more you're hearing talk about when the NFL returns and even possibly the NBA – that there are being real considerations by each of the leagues and their broadcast partners to putting in fake crowd noise. Now, La Liga, who has been playing for a while now, they have done something interesting because, first of all, they inserted what looks like basically FIFA, like the video game FIFA crowd polygons in the background. So like it's the crowd where you can't make out their faces,
right,
but it's a bunch of like dots of the color of whatever the home team is. And it actually looks like a full stadium when you watch it. And unfortunately, it sounds like a full stadium as well. This is from a La Liga game the other day.
Stepping forward is Torres, tries to square, but a good step up by Sydney to win it back. And you talk about that, Ray. We won't really see it. We'll notice the rust here in these first few games.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of wondering when they're 4, 5, 6 games into the 11 games remaining.
So that sounds like you're watching a full stadium soccer match. Now,
sure.
According to what Mike was telling me, is that this is not digital. I guess what they did was they made big tarps that they copied on top of it, a fake crowd on top of these tarps. And it's so blurry that you can't even tell because you're on TV. It all kind of blends together anyway. But that's what they've done. So, I mean, unfortunately, I think that you're going to have some leagues listen to that and go, all right, well, that's not too distracting. And it sure does feel like a full game when you have that crowd noise. And then you have this. And this, if we're going to go in this level, then we just need to stop. So apparently there is a tech company that already has a support from ESPN that wants to not only simulate crowd noise, but have real crowd noise from real fans. That's right. They say, we think it's a great opportunity for people at home who can't afford $1,000 tickets to be part of the noise and be more connected with their team. How they do that is with an app they have called Hear Me Cheer. It is a website portal that allows fans to enable a microphone on a phone or a laptop while watching a live sporting event. Then they take an aggregate of all the remote fan audio and stream it into a single sound for the broadcast. So that means if you're sitting at home and you go, boo, they're recording that and combining it with everybody else in the living room going, boo, and then making it one sound that goes on during the broadcast.
You know how cool you are if you're doing that from home? Like, what a life you have. Like, how exciting your life must be that you feel the need to boo into an app. That's just, the hell are you doing?
You know,
so
what?
Why would you possibly do that?
You know, this guy, you know what companies should do? They should draw tarps like a green screen and just sell that to companies.
I've said that.
Sell it to company. Honestly, in soccer, you know, I sponsor the first half. There's my company logo. Everyone's watching these games because they want to watch something up until the time they get sick of it. But still.
You just came up with a really good idea. Because if baseball did that,
yes,
they could split the revenue on it and pay the players, and then they would start again.
Oh, God forbid that should happen. No, the owners are going to keep that money for themselves.
Well, think about it, Fred. With the NFL, we talked about it. What do you think is more valuable? What makes the team more money? Selling an entire section worth of tickets or selling that entire section to be a gigantic ad that is broadcast on television?
Makes all the sense in the world. Yep.
Yeah. And you're right. And that's how these teams can make up for a little bit of lost revenue.
No, you make it a green screen so that you can have multiple ads, like one for each corner.
Yeah, like they do behind home, right.
Yeah.
Like they do it at behind home plate.
Yep.
So according to the guy who created this app, Hear Me Cheer, he said, if you're alone in your home, what's the point of booing if no one can hear you? But if
that's
you know
the
you
point.
I know. He's got to make our own point here. He goes, but if you know you could be part of something that Pat Mahomes could hear that's being played over a broadcast or at the actual field itself, that's really a different kind of thing. Now, if you're saying, well, this will never work, tisk, 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 ESPN used this on Tuesday night for a boxing event. I guess that during the draft they used it as well. I didn't realize this, but this is what it sounded like during a boxing event. Let's take a listen.
Well, that's the next week.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yes.
You know what? During that, there's always going to be one kid who's complaining that, like, he can't get a snack that's louder than everybody. Like, you heard in that clip, there was, like, this one kid. It's like, go away. I don't know how you're going to – why don't they just – you heard the beauty of having no crowd. And Jim Nantz having to address that Brooks Koepka yelled the F-bomb on TV. How great is that? Why would you want to deny
Seriously.
All of us on hearing that on a regular basis during
honest
the playoffs?
To God, it'll be uncomfortable for maybe the first time you watch it, maybe the second time, and then like everything else, you'll get used to it.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not going to be that big a deal in, what, a week? And then it's over, and then we can all go about our business. Why overthink this?
Yeah, I don't even – well, for baseball, it doesn't matter
That's
at
true.
All.
Well, they and have then, that constant hum of the crowd. It'll be weird the first – two games you watch it,
I mean,
and then it's over, and then you move on.
The Red Sox play Tampa Bay 5,000 times. There's never any noise, and so, yeah. If there's a home run, I mean, what are you gonna? Who cares? Hockey, I don't even think it matters that much. But they can't.
Yeah, it does in hockey. I think
probably more than basketball. Even all right. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's gonna be weird for a minute, and then you're gonna forget all about it. Unless I can get on an app that I can yell boo into. Like, can you imagine sitting at your house and going, boo?
Send.
There's something. Like, there's moments in games where I'm, like, into it enough where I'm, like, pacing and, like, saying things to myself.
Yeah.
But I rarely am going, boo.
said.
I'm going to give you an old raspberry, the old Bronx cheer.
Yeah.
Well, and you can play that.
That's something that it was actually used on ESPN, but I have a weird feeling that sports without fake crowd noise, especially for the NBA and the NHL playoffs and definitely the NFL, is something we're not going to get. You're going to get fake crowd noise, and it's to cover their ass in case somebody does swear. Matter of fact, unfortunately, that Jim Nantz moment might have got them to be more confident that we need crowd noise, which stinks because, I mean...
Well, maybe in another sport, but, I mean, you can't pump in crowd noise during a golf tournament.
Well, they pump in birds. You know, you can always have, like, you know, yeah, really, you really loud birds.
You could just have a serene situation with, oh, yeah, you could have, or the, what do they call those things, al-Qaedas, not al-Qaedas, what
am I talking about?
Cicadas, yes.
Oh, cicadas, not al-Qaedas.
Yeah, but no. There's
like
a
grasshopper
difference.
Type things, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but they come out of the ground, and like, yeah. There was a Braves game where they were all over the net, and it was just this deafening sound coming from all these cicadas. Very scary.
Okay, real quick, I have to say, Mike Lockhart, if you're right now, could you do me a favor? Can you find the clip from when we were on with Chris Forsberg last week? Fred has not heard this yet. I've completely forgotten to play it for you, but you just mentioned something that got me thinking about it. If you can find the clip, Mike, you pulled it before, and just let me know when it's ready, because I have something to play for you, Fred, that kind of goes along with all of this in a way about distractions. But real quick, just as a sign of the times, you know, we've kind of been hanging in there when it comes to stuff on TV. We haven't really run out of shows that were already in the can and ready to go that were professionally produced with live studio audiences. Well, unfortunately, Jeopardy is now out of new episodes due to the coronavirus. They have caught up, and right now, they got nothing. So, I'm not quite sure you can continue without having all those people in studio together. I don't know how that would work, but it looks like one of the first big shows has run out of pre-taped content.
Wow. So, that seems like something that you should be able to do.
You would think so. All right, Fred. I want you to hear this.
Okay.
And for some reason, when it first happened, I didn't quite catch what was going on. I don't know why, but we were interviewing Chris Forsberg, and this happened.
You know, you were one pick away from this guy or that guy.
Hey, Chris, I hate to interrupt, but are you on a walk at a nature preserve? Are you out in a park somewhere? I hear, like, birds chirping in the background.
This phone microphone picks up every single bird, every woodpecker.
The comments on Twitter are just John Wallach hearing the songs of his people in the background. Ryan Johnson, of course John Wallach, distracted by bird sounds. Mike, leave it to John Wallach to pick up the bird calls going on during the interview. Hashtag
what can I tell you?
Hashtag jealous.
In the background.
Fred, John.
Hashtag jealous. Are you in a nature preserve? Where? Where is this nature preserve? What kind of birds are there? Are there any cardinals?
It wasn't even distracting, but he heard it. He heard these birds and stopped.
You could hear it too during the replay. You could the first
well,
couple
could,
of seconds
but,
of it.
But I let it go. Okay, a little bit of background right. noise. But I mean, it was just
I'm sorry. It was bothering me.
John,
remember when Dan just reminded me? Do you remember when the hawk landed on John's car?
Yes, I do. Right on the side view mirror. Yep, I remember that. And then I saw it again. I saw it again like a week later, like hovering over the end. You know that backdoor entrance?
Yeah.
It was like hovering in the wires above that backdoor entrance to the station.
It was one of his own screaming for help.
Seriously.
He got concerned in the background.
We're not lying. There was an effing huge-ass hawk. And it was perched on
of
out of
all the cars it could have landed on. It landed on mine.
It perched on John's window. That was very funny.
I can just imagine John when he's hearing that all of a sudden freezing and moving his head to the right, like eye first.
It's like a dog tilting its head. Yeah.
Wait a second. You in a nature preserve?
Oh, John. Yep. John. Well. Yesterday.
Thank God we weren't there. We'd have seen him.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.